thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Good morning, church. Today's reading is from Luke 6, 1 through 11. All right. On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those with him. And he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.'" On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come and stand here." And he rose and stood there. And Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it?" And after looking at them all, he said to him, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Pray with me, church. Heavenly Father, I am very much looking forward to Pastor Jose's message here based upon this text. I thank you that you are fully God and that your Son, I'm just so thankful, Father, that you made your will clear for us in Scripture. Please bless us and please bless this time together. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Micah. Jesus identified himself as Lord of the Sabbath. And continuing from last week, it's really this tension between the Pharisees' established rule, religion, and God emphasizing that he is not going to submit himself to any human structure. Last week we learned about that new wine cannot be poured into old skins. And really that's a picture of the transformative word of God cannot fill an old heart unless the heart is renewed and born again. And then this portion of Scripture is really the application of all of that. But sometimes there's just problems with old systems. My wife and I, when we purchased our first home many years ago, it had this old furnace, right? A steam furnace. And I would baby that furnace. right? Because it's, I knew that it was going to continue to provide as long as I maintained it. And here's the thing, right? The thing should have been replaced, right? And then when we sold the house, I told the new owners, listen, right? If you take care of it, it will take care of you, right? And he was a New York City police officer, not at home as often as I was, right? And one day the furnace blew up, right? And almost caused a fire in the house, right? But here's what it reminded me of, right? That in order for that old system to work, function, I needed to work on it, right? And that was the old religion of the Pharisees, right? It's, if you wanted what the Old Testament had, you had to work at it, right? And Jesus came to dismantle all of that. And because when we look at Scripture, especially these words, we can see this collision between the kingdom of God and human religion, right? And it's not to say that the Pharisees were all bad, right? But it's just that they made the structure their worship, right? And Jesus pretty much said, no, the structure points to me, right? I'm the reason why you come and worship. And the Pharisees had a struggle with that. And these verses that we are going to see is where Jesus pronounces that he is Lord of the Sabbath, right? It's is where we see authentic faith, right? Resting in Christ alone, because he's the one that fulfills the law, right? And the Pharisee had to, you know, see past the of what they were seeing, that, you know, Jesus, right, was God, right? They couldn't see past that. And because you can't see past that, what happens is you miss opportunities of when to do ministry, right? And we'll see that in these verses, right? So he starts off on a Sabbath while he was going through the grain field. The disciples plucked and ate some of the heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands, right? And the disciples were doing pretty much what Scripture already had provided for them to do. And we see this in Deuteronomy 23, verse 25, right, where it was permitted, right? As a matter of fact, they would say that when you harvest, you should leave the edges of your field so that way those that were in need would come and be able to eat, right? And so the Pharisees were focused on Jesus' disciples, and they saw them picking the grain and rubbing them between their fingers. However, the Pharisees throughout time then added to God's word, and they said, well, anybody who would be rubbing, right, the husk of the grain between their fingers is really threshing. And if you're threshing, you're working. And if you're working, you can't do that on the Sabbath. Right? But the Pharisees created a lot of additional restrictions. Right? We find in Josephus, right, that one of the things they classified as work was, you know, if somebody spit on the ground, and the spit was to push forward the sand a little bit, they would consider that plowing. Right? That's how ridiculous things got. Right? And so they're watching Jesus and his disciples, but they're missing the point. Right? And that's what human religion does. We miss the opportunities of ministry, of mercy, of grace, when we're focused on human religion, of the work piece. But some of the Pharisees says, why are you doing what it is unlawful to do on the Sabbath? Right? So they were challenging Jesus. Right? And then Jesus would respond, have you not read when David did, when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those with him? Right? So Jesus is responding of, right, haven't you read, right? They're Pharisees, so of course they read. They know, right? But all of a sudden, this piece of scripture confronts all of their human religion, right? Because that bread that David received really was given to him by Ahimelech, the priest. And that bread really was a bread that was only for the priest. But then when he gave it to David and David gave it to his men, what we find is that God did not strike them down, right? Because working with what God has presented is really about preserving life and not taking life, right? And at that moment, David was in need of food, right? So the Pharisees are struggling with this, right? It's because they're trying to make sense of, well, who is this Jesus? Why does he believe that he can do things that are not permissible? And then he would throw the theological bombshell on them, right? And he said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, right? He would say, the Sabbath, right, is for me, right? The Sabbath was created to point to me, right? We are reminded in Matthew 11, right, that those who are weary, right, that they will find rest and rest alone in Christ and Christ alone, right? And they just had a problem with that, right? Because to them, this is just Jesus. Like, who are you to all of a sudden say that the Sabbath, right? And here's the thing about the Sabbath ties you all the way back to creation, right? It is something that is fundamental in their faith, right? And sometimes even today, right, it's we struggle, well, what's our Sabbath? Right? And then sometimes people confuse it between wanting to do a Jewish Sabbath and then wanting to do what we do on Sunday morning, and we forget that we can't do a Jewish Sabbath because you and I are not Jewish. Right? And here's how we celebrate it today, right? It's like by doing what we're doing today. right? We stop and celebrate on Sunday morning because of what we're going to celebrate in a few weeks because of Easter Sunday morning. So all of a sudden, our Sabbath shifted from what they celebrated on Friday evening into Saturday, and now we celebrate it on Sunday because he conquered sin and death. He is the fulfillment of all the laws. All the laws point to Christ. Christ is the meaning of the law. Christ is not under them, he's over them. He's God, right? And all of a sudden, in Christ making this statement, he's claiming for the first time in the Gospel of Luke his divinity, right? And all of a sudden, they got an issue with that, right? They got an issue with that. Because for them, it was about keeping and maintaining, right, this human religion that they had created. And again, they created it because of their sense of fear for God. But then it became about works, right? And God pretty much says, that's not my original intent, right? It's, you guys blew it out of proportion, right? So when we summarize this, right, what we have is Jesus is not abolishing the law. However, he is fulfilling it from inside out, right? The Sabbath will always point to him. Right, and we see this in Matthew 11 and also in Hebrews 4. Right, authentic faith, right? We don't keep rules in order to earn favor. However, we rest in Christ, who is our Sabbath. In Colossians 2, right? Sabbath regulations were a shadow of the things to come. Right? Christ is our substance. He's the one that fills our hearts. Our hearts, which are now renewed, our hearts, which are not the old wineskins, our hearts, which can receive what he has for us, right? Because one of the problems that the Pharisees had was that there's a kingdom coming, right? And their structure was not capable of receiving this new kingdom because they were part of the old wineskin. In order to receive it, you need to become a new wineskin. Where are you today? Where's your heart today? Are you part of the old system that you're trying to maintain, right? Or are you part of something new that God is doing in your life and in my life and in the life of the church, right? And so now, in the Gospel of Luke, he digs down even deeper. All of a sudden, we find ourselves on another Sabbath day. This isn't the same Sabbath. It's another Sabbath day, right? And it seemed that Jesus was doing a lot of things on the Sabbath day, right? And the Pharisees started to see a routine, right? It's like, if we're going to catch Jesus doing something ungodly, let's see if we can catch him on the Sabbath day, right? So all of a sudden, we're going to see the healing of the man with the withered hand, right? And here, right, remember what I said earlier, that this is a collision, right, between the kingdom of God and human religion, and now we have a collision between mercy and religion. Right? Are we going to help somebody who's in need, or are we going to create regulations that prevent us from helping somebody who's in need? And really, this helps for those who are in leadership. Because sometimes in leadership, we create high hurdles for people in the church, right? We believe that it's good, right? And there's a good purpose for it, right? But it should never get in between us and God, right? It's on another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. A man was there whose right hand was withered, right? And here's the thing, right? It's when you have a man whose right hand is with, right? There's so much information in that term, right hand, right? Because that hand is the hand that pretty much would provide for that man and his family, right? It is the very tool that he would use for work, for gathering, right? Because back then, the left hand really didn't mean so much, even though I am lefty, and I think it means a lot for me, right? But in those days, right, the right hand meant strength. The right hand meant honor. The right hand meant so much. And this man is in the synagogue, and his hand is withered. It's not withered, it's atrophy. It doesn't move, right? It's pretty much dead, but attached to him. And here's the thing. When Jesus is in the synagogue and this man with the withered hand is in the synagogue, the Pharisees are so focused on what Jesus is going to do that they don't see the man with the withered hand. Not enough to even say, "How can we help you?" Right? Because they want to find something to charge Jesus with. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath so that they might find a reason to accuse him. Right? They weren't watching the man who was broken, right? They were watching Jesus. They were waiting to entrap him. But he knew their thoughts. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come and stand here." And he arose and stood. Right? Jesus knows. Right? And here's what Jesus does. Right? He chooses to show mercy publicly. Right? He doesn't choose to say to the man, "Hey, meet me after our worship service and I'll take care of you." Right? No. Jesus goes, "Come here." Right? And here's the thing, right? The moment the man stood up, he did that in faith. Right? Most would say that when Jesus told him to stretch your hand out, that's where faith all of a sudden is captured in Scripture. But I'm going to say, right, that the moment he stood up, that's where faith started. As a matter of fact, there's a good chance the man was there because he knew Jesus was going to be there. Right? You and I come to a Sunday worship service hoping to encounter Christ, hoping that he would move in a mighty way, hoping that he would provide something in addition to what he's already provided, because he's already provided for those of us who put our faith and trust in his finished work, life beyond this life. But some of us are seeking something a little bit more to make this life a little bit easier. Right? And let me tell you, we shouldn't minimize that. We should be seeking him. We should be going to him in prayer. We should be seeking and saying, "Lord, heal. Lord, restore. Lord, provide." Because all of it is his. We don't have to hide from that. We don't have to be ashamed of that. We don't have to be ashamed of our struggle. He's God. And Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm?" Right? Some of the other translations have that, to do evil. to save life or to destroy it? Right? He poses this question to them. Right? Now remember, he just said to them the week prior that the Sabbath is his. Right? And in this question, he doesn't even wait for an answer. He doesn't wait for them to, well, let me tell you what we think, right? As they're contemplating their answer, because either answer is going to validate Jesus. Jesus then, after looking around at them, he says to him, stretch out your hand. Right? Just imagine. It's withered. Right? There's no muscle structure in it. It's atrophy. It's been atrophy. Stretch out your hand. Right? It's my question is, how? I need help. Right? It's like, I need your help, Lord. Right? And he did so. Right? He believed. He obeyed. He did what he was unable to do, and through belief, he was able to do what God provides. God's power, Christ's power. Right, so imagine, right, it's the Sabbath, and you want to honor God, and you want to worship God, and you don't want to disobey God. In the Old Testament, it said that after God created, he rested. So if he rested, I should rest. However, if somebody is in need of help, right, do I honor God by not helping? Or do I help and honor God? Right? And can you imagine? Right? So the Sabbath is sundown on Friday. So imagine somebody coming to you just as the sun's going down. And you look at them and go, I have everything you need in order for me to help you. However, I'm going to do it after the Sabbath. Right? That's just heartbreaking, right? And let me ask this question. How do you think God sees your response? Especially when you have everything that's needed in order to help. Imagine somebody that has no food, and you say to them, wait until tomorrow and then I'll feed you, right? Because in order for me to help you, I have to cook. In order to cook, I have to work. So I'd rather not, because I'm going to honor God, right? And what you see, right, little by little, that their structure of human religion was just getting in the way, right, of what God initially meant, because the law was always about lifting life, right? Not holding life down. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Imagine, right? They're upset. Right? Because Jesus' question, right, dismantled their human religion. Right? Because either way they answered, they would have found how wrong they were. But here's the thing, right? In the midst of it, there's no wonder, there's no repentance, there's no, Lord, forgive me. what they do is they double down, right? And it's like, I can't believe, right, that he doesn't respect the Sabbath, right? And they become hostile to him, right? And it's so overwhelming, right? But all of this is about really leadership, right? It points to how we who are involved in church leadership, whether church or maybe we're leading somewhere else, right? How we are supposed to respond to the world that's around us, right? So when we do a diagnostic, right, in reference to leadership, right? When a broken person walks in, do we see an opportunity for mercy? Or is it just complications and difficult and we just can't do it? Like, have you ever had somebody, like I used to work, right, in a store, right? And you know when was the hardest time to take care of a customer? The minute you are locking the door. You're locking the door and somebody, I need one thing. We're closed. Come back tomorrow when we're open, right? But I need it now, right? And at that moment, you have that opportunity to show mercy, right? Authentic faith, right? The man stretches out what he could not heal. Faith is obeying what Christ commands, even when you can't do it yourself, right? And we see this throughout Scripture. We see it with Peter and John in Acts, right, when they're in the synagogue, and the guy is sitting there on his mat, right, and he's begging for alms, and Peter says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have is in the authority and name of Jesus Christ, pick up your mat and walk, right? I'm always marveled at that. Right, because here's the thing, the man did not have to do it. Right? He didn't have to get up and walk, but he did. Right? Grace versus religion, right? Their system had made them blind to the person that was in need, right? And not just that person, but to everybody who was in need. If their system was in place, then they didn't see those that were in need. Right? And that's a permanent warning, not only for them, but for us too. And faith, right? God commands what he alone gives. Right? He commands faith and gives new wineskin in order to hold what he is giving you and me. Right? And all of this comes down to this, right? He stretched out his withered hand and obeyed what he could not do. And the power came from Christ that did it for him. Right? And I hope that you can hear the encouragement behind this. Right? Especially when you're looking for God to do something for you. Because in the end, right, this is what saving faith is all about. Right? This is the very thing that brings us to this table. Right? When Christ told his disciples to do this in remembrance of me. Right? And so let us prepare our hearts. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful that you are the Sabbath. You are the reason for our worship. And Lord, one of the things that we are reminded over and over again is that the veil has been torn and that you are available. I don't have to make an appointment with you. I don't have to schedule a time with you. I can call upon you because you are accessible to us. And Lord, This table reminds us of everything you've given. So, Lord, I pray that you would draw near to us here and now. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.